So there's a soldier named Eliashiv Rabinovitz, and he wrote something that I saw on Instagram, and I want to read it. I translated it into English for you, and I'd like to read it to you. After many years of hester panim, of hiding, I saw her on the faces of the young soldiers standing with heavy bags on their shoulders, marching toward the border into a war from which they will not all return. You don't have to believe me, but I saw the Shekhinah herself. I saw God walking among the camp. I don't know. Maybe it was the life-threatening, shattering experience that caused me to rave. I once heard that women, in general, of course, tend to be very spiritual when they are giving birth. I once heard that they encounter the Ein Sof, the source of life. They come to the brink of death, and from them hatches life. Maybe this is the value of war for men, the brink of life and death. And perhaps this is specifically the Mesirut Nefesh of our soldiers. Perhaps the Shekhinah comes to visit when we risk our lives, sometimes in the plain sense of the meaning, when we jump on a grenade to save others. But you must understand that every soldier found there in the war is sacrificing his life. He pushes aside his ego and personal existence and sacrifices his personal soul for the group. Every soldier there in the gates of Gaza is a small piece of something much larger and older than him. They know this well. The young and the old, the commanders and commanded, know that they are fighting for something beyond words. They are the messengers of Am Yisrael, of the Shekhinah. There is something like this. I wasn't sure. I only read about it in books. But if you believe me, I saw her walking there amongst the troops and the battalions. I saw her on the faces of the soldiers going their way. I heard her spoken from their throats. If you search, maybe you too will succeed at seeing her beyond the beautiful faces of the fallen. If you listen, you'll be able to hear her crying with the bereaved mothers, screaming with them, like in the labor room. And I read this, and I thought immediately to our parsha, Vatiftach vatir'ehu et hayeled. She opened, Bat Paro opened up the teva, and she saw the little boy, v'yine na'ar bocheh. There was a baby crying. Vatachmol alav, she had compassion on him. Vatomer miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. She knew exactly who this child was. She knew this child was a Hebrew. And Rashi picks up on the fact, the Midrash picks up on the fact that it says not vatir et hayeled, but rather vatir ehu et hayeled. And the who is superfluous. It should just be vatir et hayeled. She saw the boy. But it says she saw him, the boy. And who is the him? Who is the vatir ehu? Shera'ata imo shechina. She saw the shechina resting with Moshe Rabbeinu. She saw the shechina hovering over this child. It's interesting, when I read this reflection of this soldier, Eliashiv Rabinovitz, who's wise beyond his years, I thought of a podcast that I had heard about, a book by a man named Sebastian Younger, where he talks about how there are actual parallels in percentages between those who lose their life in childbirth before the modern era, 5 to 6% of women before the modern era, and the amount of men who lose their lives at war. And there's something about the level of risk that we take as individuals for the sake of group perpetuation, for the sake of the group. And it is an unparalleled bonding experience, the experience of going to war. It is an unparalleled experience of achdut building, the experience of going to war. But Hashem, I implore you, with the words of Rebbetzin Youngreis, I understand it's how you made us, but the time has come that it shouldn't be that we know how to die together, but we don't know how to live together. There's a moment where the Shekhinah departs, and that is when Yaakov Avinu, the Midrash says, and it's brought down in Masechet Pesachim, that when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed. Again, that's a Shekhinah moment. It's a moment hovering between worlds. It's a transition point. When Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he wanted to reveal the Ketz HaYamim. He wanted to tell his children, here's how the arc of history is going to go. Here's how history is going to come to a close. Here's how Mashiach can come. And what happens? Hashem said, this is not how it's going to go. And the Shekhinah departs from him. And he says, maybe there's some kind of psul. Maybe there's some kind of problem with one of my children. Like the previous generations where there was always somebody who needed to be kicked out of the camp. And that is why, what did his children say to him? They said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We may all be different, but Yisrael, our father, we're all believers that there is one God. We all believe in one Hashem. And Rabbi Sacks talks about how it's specifically that through the multiplicity down below that points to the unity up above. And that is the response that he gives of Baruch Shem, Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed, blessed is that name. There's this moment, and then he goes and gives them their individual brachot. And I think it is remarkable. Certainly, yes, there are Jews in this world who don't know the words of Shema Yisrael. But it is, of all the things that you might find on the lips of anybody who might know that they are Jewish, they know the cry of Shema Yisrael. That is the cry that unites us all. That is the cry through which we can all see that our individuality is but a tiny reflection of the unity that is up above, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I would easily argue that it is us, the women, the life bringers, who have those building blocks for Geula. We are the birthers, the ones who glimpse at the Shekhinah when we bring our children into this world. And we have a sacred responsibility to bring out all that which we have in common, even as we celebrate the individuality of every single person.